5 lives claimed along the Greenway a year ago today in a mass shooting in Raleigh. Now at 7, WRAL is live in the Headingham community with a show of support happening right now for the victims.
Our clear skies will switch over to rain. What Futurecast shows about the earliest hours for weekend showers to start.
The State Fair and weekend concerts means a lot of cars on the roads in Raleigh. The traffic you can expect and how to bring down your commute time.
Right now at 7, taking a live look at Pinehurst, you can already see clouds starting to move in ahead of a wet start to the weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. So this system is arriving tonight, and then it'll move in tomorrow. WRAL's meteorologist Mike Mays in the Severe Weather Center. Mike, what's the timeline here? When is it moving out is a big question.
As you said, we'll see some rain overnight and lasting at least the first part of the day. And if all goes well, we'll see it depart tomorrow afternoon, leaving our evening dry. Now, we're already starting to see some rain on the radar out of Greenville, Spartanburg, South Carolina. Upstate South Carolina, the Sand Hills right now seeing some sprinkles. That will move in as we get through the evening hours, and already that cloud cover is advanced. But the air is so dry that a lot of it would likely evaporate before it reaches the ground. So really, it's not until after midnight and toward daybreak that we start to see some measurable rain. So there's your Saturday, 90% chance for showers, a small chance for a storm, 69 the high. Sunday is mostly cloudy, maybe some sprinkles, about 66. Now on Sunday, it's sunshine in the morning, cloud cover in the afternoon. It's breezy, and it is certainly cooler than what we're expecting tomorrow. We had 81 today. Tomorrow will be cooler in the 60s. An hour by hour rainfall chances greatest in the morning. Morning till about 1 o'clock, and then the rain tapers off during the afternoon. In fact, it moves to the east into the coastal plain, leaving us with drier weather here as we head into the evening hours. I'll have an hour by hour look with Futurecast of how all this develops coming up in less than 15 minutes.
All right, we'll see you then. Thanks, Mike.
Tonight marks 1 year since a mass shooting in Raleigh shook our community, claiming 5 lives. Right now, people are coming together to remember the victims, survivors, and first responders.
Taking a look at the lives cut short that day, Officer Gabriel Torres, who was on his way to work at the time, James Thompson, Nicole Connors, Mary Marshall, and Susan Karnatz, shot along the Greenway.
365 days later, the community is still pushing for answers. Tonight, though, a show of unity and support in the Headingham neighborhood.
And that's where we find WRAL's Aaron Thomas live as a candlelight vigil getting underway just moments ago. To call this a somber day would be an understatement, Aaron.
Yeah, most certainly, Dan and Ashley. You know, it's a somber day and one that many of us around the Raleigh area and throughout North Carolina can never forget. I do want to set the scene for you what's happening right now in the Headingham community. We have about a dozen people. They now have candles in hand. We want to, of course, respect their privacy. They're here for a private ceremony. They're near the entrance sign. A lot of them surrounded by one another. We've seen some folks drop off flowers at the entrance sign, remembering what happened. Here's video actually from 1 year ago today. We'll go back a little bit. You can remember it was a chaotic evening with police tape. There were sirens. There was helicopters. Since then, neighbors have been taking it day by day, leaning on one another for support. There have been other vigils and community discussions for people with shared trauma to address this unforgettable tragedy. This evening, I spoke with a neighbor who tells me that she ran into another neighbor's house, someone she does not know, when the shooting happened. Here's what she says the past year has been like for her and her family.
I'm cautious of my surroundings and stuff. Like, it's to put in like 2-3 good words, scary. Like I said, cautious. And just like detrimental. Like, it's like you never know. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. And a lot of people in this neighborhood are certainly cautious since October 13th of 2022. Another live look now at the top of the hour. These neighbors gathered for a private ceremony, candles in hand, walking by. You've actually looked very closely at the entrance sign. There are 5 candles that are lit in honor of those 5 lives that were tragically lost that day. On our late news, we're actually going to be hearing more from the neighbor you just heard from a few seconds ago and trying to speak with one of the survivors of that shooting. We'll have that piece at 10 on Fox 50 and WRAL News at 11.
Dan? Our thoughts, our hearts with the Headingham community tonight. Aaron Thomas, live in Raleigh. Thanks, Aaron. The city of Raleigh is remembering the Headingham victims and honoring the survivors and their families. This afternoon, about three dozen city officials, some faith leaders and community members, they attended a quiet ceremony in front of the Raleigh Municipal Building downtown. The city councilor who represents the Headingham neighborhood read the names of the five victims and two survivors. Chaplains from WakeMed and the Raleigh Fire Department and Police Department led the crowd in prayers and urged the community to come together.
We move forward one day at a time, one step at a time. And now, one day at a time has become 365 days later.
We as the citizens of Raleigh must continue to stand together in prayer and heal together by showing love and compassion towards one another.
Family members of two of the victims, Nicole Connors and Mary Marshall, attended the ceremony. Marshall's fiance tells WRAL this is part of his healing.
Each day this week, WRAL has been visiting with families of those who died to understand their loss and how life has changed. Sue Karnatz's husband, Tom, shared why moving forward is not as easy as finding a new normal.
Sometimes people say, oh, will it get easier? Or, you know, does it get easier? And I don't know that it does. I guess you get a little more used to that Sue's not here. But, you know, I still miss her as much as I did before.
Hear more of his story and from others who lost loved ones that day on WRAL.com. Search Headingham.
A Durham family is getting some closure now after an arrest in a 24-year-old murder case. Jesus Enrique Garza was killed in 1999. More than two decades later, and over 100 miles away in Mount Airy, police arrested Santino Gutierrez Garcia. Garza's family, who called him Tucho, say while this arrest brings relief, it also reopens old wounds.
And for a long time, to be honest, I had lost hope that we're going to catch him. So, you know, to learn this news, it's given us a little bit of closure. I don't think we will ever be able to have complete closure.
Garza's family remembers him as kind and fun. He was only 19 years old when he died. Gutierrez Garcia's next court date is at the end of the month.
The State Department of Health and Human Services received final federal approval to launch Medicaid expansion on December 1st. The state plan amendment is a required step forward for getting more than 600,000 people in North Carolina health care coverage. 300,000 North Carolinians will be automatically enrolled in full coverage December 1st. Updated COVID-19 vaccine appointments are now available for people who don't have health insurance. Today, Durham County Public Health began scheduling the new shots. Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are available for everyone ages 6 months and older. These appointments are for people who don't have private health care coverage, Medicare, Medicaid, or if their insurance doesn't cover COVID vaccines. Appointments begin on Monday.
Right now, so it's Friday, we got a lot of big events happening in the area at the same time here in Raleigh. It could create a big traffic headache for drivers this weekend. So in less than an hour, we have Travis Scott, his concert. That starts at PNC. That's a massive event. At the same time, we got thousands of people out enjoying the first Friday at the State Fair. We have team coverage helping you to navigate all this. We want to begin with WRAL's Carly Haynes. She's live at the State Fairgrounds. Traffic can become an issue out there, Carly. How are things looking?
Yeah, certainly. I want to give you a live look at where we are right now on Hillsborough Street. Look, people are getting off work. They've been waiting for the State Fair all year, and they are willing to fight through traffic just to get a chance of being here tonight. So let's take a look at the roads. I mean, we're seeing a lot of cars coming in and out. Look, people are getting creative with their way of commuting. We got some bikes coming on, too. But the big thing that we are seeing here is just congestion. A lot of cars coming through here, and this is only expected to get busier into tonight and this weekend. Just across the street, a Travis Scott concert at PNC. That'll be starting in less than an hour, as you said, only expecting to make these roads more congested. He'll also be playing again tomorrow evening, so look out for that as well. And when concerts are playing at PNC Arena, it means that parking lot is a no-go for free parking where you would otherwise be able to get that. So a lot of people are parking far away just to get their chance at a free spot.
We circled around probably about 30 minutes and then we looked up and got free parking. So, and that was a mile away, so it was worth it. to pay, you know, that amount instead of, well, free instead of paying the $20, $30.
And there are some parking lots available, as she said, for $20, $30. You can park there. But be aware of traffic after that Travis Scott concert as well. That's expected to get busier throughout the evening. But be aware of the cars on the roads. This is expected to get really busy, so use caution. Back to you, Dan.
Absolutely. That's a lot of people looking to have a lot of different types of fun down there. Big concert at Carly Haynes there in Raleigh. Let's talk to Mark over in the Live Center. Mark, what do you think?
Dan, you know, everyone wants to eat all that food. They need to get their steps in, right? So just walk it off. Walk there, walk back, you're set. No big deal. Let's take a look at the traffic maps right now. All the red that you're seeing, that's where the fair is, the state fair right here. Hillsboro running east and west. This is Blue Ridge. You're seeing a lot of that red, that purple indicating the traffic really is not moving at all. Some of the workarounds, if you're still trying to get out of town or into town and avoid all that, Wade to the north and Western to the south. East and west running major thoroughfares, and you can get to where you need to go with no major issues. Back to you.
Walk off those deep fried Oreos.
I think
there
that's
you go.
Very yeah. sound advice. Smart. Yes, yes. Still ahead, fighting for reconciliation over a bygone neighborhood. Here from Fourth Ward residents who remember a neighborhood of love. A plea for help tonight after a woman's body was found dumped in a Fayetteville field. Police have identified the victim as 40-year-old Crystal Lugren. WREL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays spoke with family members and investigators who hope the public can help find the killer.
Well, as you can see, we're in a very secluded area off Cedar Street here in Fayetteville. Those flowers mark where the woman's body was found. This area of Bonny Doon has a history of drugs, crime, and violence.
This was the scene Wednesday night in a wooded area near Cedric and Fieldcrest Streets in Fayetteville. It's where police found the body of 40-year-old Crystal Lagrain. The yellow crime scene tape has since been replaced with balloons and a teddy bear. Colorful flowers mark the spot where her body was found in the woods. I talked with family members too upset to go on camera. They say Lagrain was a wonderful woman who didn't know a stranger. Their outrage and grief posted on social media with tears and broken hearts.
So an individual said that he was looking for his dog in the area, walked out into the wooded area at that intersection and found a deceased female. She was pronounced deceased on scene. So officers responded out there and the homicide unit began their investigation.
In addition to gathering information from folks who live nearby, they're also scanning through video taken by several security cameras they have located in the Bonny Doon section of town.
There are a bunch of areas in the city that do have cameras that our Crime Information Center has access to, and that's just one of the areas that our CIC monitors.
Investigators are hoping that video and information from the public help lead to a break in the case.
So this is an ongoing investigation. If you have information, give Fayetteville Police a call. If you want to remain anonymous, you can do that by calling Crime Stoppers. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
Charlotte Hornets star Miles Bridges has turned himself into law enforcement. Bridges charged with misdemeanor child abuse and injury to personal property. Investigators say Bridges threatened the mother of his children earlier this month and threw pool balls at her car. Bridges then appeared in court and was released on a $1,000 bond. Last year, Bridges pleaded no contest to a domestic violence charge out of Los Angeles. That led the NBA to suspend him for 30 games.
Raleigh once had a sprawling fourth ward. It was destroyed during the process called urban renewal. Now, community activists are calling on city leaders to right the wrong they say the Black community has endured. The fourth ward was once home to hundreds of families, dozens of businesses, and four churches. It stretched from Washington Elementary School to South Street. But in the 1960s, that once vibrant community was slated for urban renewal by the Raleigh Redevelopment Commission. Families were relocated, businesses were torn down. Community activist Octavia Rainey says the city needs to make amends.
The city had no business wiping out fourth ward. And they don't even admit it.
It's, first off, shameful what happened to begin with.
Baldwin says the city is looking at ways to incorporate the story of the Fourth Ward into the area. If you're interested in learning more about the history of the area, you can attend Porch Fest tomorrow from 11 to 2 at the Tarboro Community Center.
We keep talking about how busy this weekend is going to be, and one of the other components of that is the weather, because we do have a little bit of rain moving in. Meteorologist Mike Mays joining us now. Talk about the timing of that, Mike.
Yeah, it is not going to be a washout. Sunday's the better of the 2 days, but Sunday will feature quite a bit of cloud cover and maybe a few sprinkles. And that's generally what we're seeing on the radar right now in South Carolina and Georgia. Some sprinkles, some spotty light rain. The moisture is increasing from the south and west. We've already seen the cloud shield grow in. Fayetteville has an overcast right now. That cloud cover is moving into Raleigh, and eventually this will be making its way in too. We look at the live dual Doppler 5000 radar and some sprinkles showing up in Robeson County. When you join me at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRL, what you see here will likely be in our neighborhood. It will only increase overnight. And tomorrow morning when you step out, there's likely to be rain in the area. Heading to the State Fair this evening, mostly cloudy skies. Really don't expect any rain. There could be some sprinkles theoretically by 10 and 11 o'clock. Temperatures are comfortable. Area high school football games. Weather's pretty good. We had 81 out at RDU today, 79 in Fayetteville. Not even going to be close to that during the day tomorrow. And there's some of that cloud cover that's advancing over North Hills right now. RDU has 74, the dew point at 57. The air will be more moist tomorrow with dew points in the 60s, so it may take on a more humid feel. But once a cold front sweeps by tomorrow night, it will feel less humid on Sunday. And next week will be downright chilly with below normal temperatures. Get the jackets ready. In fact, some of the heavier jackets are going to be needed even during the daytime, especially on Monday. 73 at Southern Pine, 66 at South Hill. It's 63 right now in Goldsboro. And there is even the threat for some severe weather. It's a level one threat in the far eastern counties tomorrow. Damaging wind gusts, maybe an isolated tornado. That threat is not here for us locally, where you see the light green. That's our thunderstorm color, meaning there could be some storms, but that's the threat down east toward the coast. So futurecast at 7 o'clock tonight, that cloud shield's already advancing into the triangle. There's the little bit of sprinkle activity by 11 o'clock. Theoretically, there could be sprinkles. Not likely to be a whole lot of them, but by daybreak, 6, 7 o'clock, we see some rain in the area. So when you join Peter Sherwood tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on our newscast, then she'll be watching the rain on the live dual Doppler 5000 radar from about 8 a.m. till about 2 p.m. Thunderstorms are possible, and if you get one, there could be some hefty rain, maybe up to an inch in some spots. By 2 o'clock, it looks like a little line coming on through the area. The good news is this isn't going to be an all-day thing. By the time we get to 5 and 6 o'clock, the bulk of the rain's out of here, leaving area college football games, UNC, State, and Duke, all dry into the evening. We'll look for mostly cloudy skies into the evening. So rain is possible late tonight with lows in the 50s and 60s, and then tomorrow our highs in the 60s to low 70s with more likely rain in the morning and early afternoon, then moving out during the latter afternoon. Sunday and Monday are mostly cloudy, breezy, and cooler. 62 the high on Monday. That means some folks up in our northern counties could be in the 50s during the day. We gradually warm back up, but those morning lows in the 40s, highs in the 60s. By next Friday, could be a little bit more rain.
All right, Mike, thanks for telling me it out.
So still ahead, we have a contestant getting lots of attention for his incredible audition on The Voice, and he's from our area. We're going to talk to him. We talked to him about his four chair turn moment. Hear that coming up.
Coming up right now on 723, we've been talking about the traffic all afternoon and evening. A live look outside for you right now. This is I-440 and Capitol Boulevard. No problem there. Here is I-540 at US 401. Smooth sailing, but we are seeing those slowdowns, of course, for the fair. That's to be expected for the next week or two. This is an area that a crash just cleared. A couple of vehicles involved. I-40 eastbound near US 1. Take a look at this video. This just in from the WRL breaking news tracker. So not too severe, but definitely slowed traffic down there for a little bit. Crews out there talking to our reporters, telling them that it's still under investigation in terms of what caused that crash. We'll send things back to you.
All right, Mark. Thank you. Hey, one of the contestants turning heads and chairs, of course, on The Voice this season is from Eastern North Carolina.
I love this. Caleb Sasser is his name, from Goldsboro. You know, he got his music degree from UNC Pembroke. Just take a moment and, like, let's soak this in, because it could be that, like, oh, I remember when moment, right, when he becomes huge, because he really is amazing. This week, he performed for his blind audition, and Sasser sang a Tony Braxton cover. All four judges turned that blind audition into right before their eyes, because they flipped their chairs around, including one of Sasser's musical idols, John Legend. Sasser says he's hoping to go as far as he can in this competition, launch a music career. It started, though, with this incredible moment.
It didn't really hit me like, you are on The Voice right now, singing on national TV, and you just got a four-chair turn. Sometimes
so great.
Yeah, so his next step in the competition is the battle round. He's going to face off against another contestant. You can watch that next episode of The Voice. It is Monday night, right here, 8 o'clock, WRAL.
He is so talented. I know. You know, he chose John Legend, but he could have chosen Reba McEntire, for example. Yeah. And the newest voice, the coach, rather, on The Voice, do you recognize her there? Yeah, she's built into a corn maze in North Carolina.
Why not?
Larger than life tribute to Reba McEntire. This can be found in Indian Trail, not far from Charlotte. The corn maze features the country legend's face and guitar with the words, "We Heart Reba." At every major turn, if you can correctly answer a Reba trivia question, you will get a clue about which way to go. This is actually one of, if you can believe it, 40 Reba mazes across the nation. I guess this is a big thing.
This is an insane statistic.
I know.
40 corn mazes of one person.
Who knew there was such a thing?
Wow.
Taking a live look at the North Carolina State Fair here, the first full day. I know we had it yesterday, but the first full day is going to be coming to a close in a few hours. But it is packed, so you wouldn't know.
You know, it lights up at night, too. It looks so nice, beautiful. I was out there earlier today meeting some of the people that watch WRAL. It was a great time meeting all of you. If any of you were able to come out, hello, nice to see you. Tomorrow, we have some more opportunities for you to meet some of the folks that you get to know here on the screen. Ken Smith and Michelle McConaughey will be there from 11:30 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. Deb and Gerald, they're going to be out there saying hi to everyone from 2 until 4 in the afternoon. And that's followed by Liz McLaughlin and Mark Boyle from 4:30 until 6:30. You can find the full list. If there's somebody specific who you want to go out there and meet, there's a full list of when everyone's going to be there. Just go to WRAL.com and search fair.
Didn't you meet somebody who knows your family?
Yes, my mom was her maid of honor, and
who I actually
never met. And my dad taught her daughter, who was there too.
You never know who you're going to see at the fair.
Small world down at the fair. You can catch lots of NFL action this weekend here on WRAL.
It starts with an NFL doubleheader Sunday on Fox 50 at 1 o'clock. The San Francisco 49ers are playing the Cleveland Browns, and at 4 o'clock, the Eagles will be in New York to play the Jets. So head on over to WRAL on Sunday night when Football Night in America starts at 7 o'clock.
So good to have you with us tonight and this week. Go enjoy the fair. We'll see you out there. See you out there. See you out there. See you out there.
Watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.